Good morning. Let's try one more time. Good morning. There we go. Love to hear everyone welcoming us to a wonderful morning of worship. Excited to be here gathered together. If you are a guest with us or you have visited before, we would love to have you fill out a guest card. And they're located right in front of you. We are thankful that you are joining us together for our worship service and would love to have a record of your attendance. We have those guest cards for you to fill out and place on the offering plate. So we do have a record. I have several announcements, actually, to make sure we're all on the same page about numerous things. So if you have a pen and a little piece of paper to jot down real quick to make sure we're all aware of some things. First of all, the proposed budget for the coming year is now available. If each family could pick one up and review it, and if there's any questions, call a member of the Finance Committee this week, and the vote will be next Sunday at the regular scheduled business meeting. And I hope all the students that moved up into their new Sunday school classes this morning found their classes well. I know there's a lot going on right now, especially in the children's area. If you could just bear with us as all that transformation continues to take place. And there's a couple classes moving, some furniture and things of that nature that are going on. If you could just kind of hang tight with that. I know that Debbie and Anna sent out an information sheet to the Sunday school classes, kind of giving an outline of when things might begin to really form in that way. You'll notice in the sign-up table right here, you've noticed a sign-up sheet for a James 1:27 day. And what that is, briefly, is to let you know is how God continues to want us to serve our community and serve those within our own church family. We're going to have a morning time for all children, youth, and families to sign up and spend time with other families serving some of our church members in ways that are already going to be predetermined and make sure those families are equipped to meet some of the needs that some of our church members have. So more specific information about what that looks like will be out soon. If you have children and youth, your families would love to sign up for that to participate. It'll start at 9:30 and we'll conclude at lunch and have lunch together in town. And all that information will be out in detail. I just wanted to make sure you heard about it now. Also, I've been told to announce that this Wednesday evening and Saturday, the church will be open for all teachers to gather together, especially those who are sharing classrooms now that maybe have normally not been sharing classrooms, to meet with their other teachers, to see how they want to organize their closets, get their furniture like they want it, to make the classrooms conducive for all the numerous classes that will take place in each room, to make sure everyone's aware of how things are forming now. And that'll be this Wednesday and this Saturday. And one last announcement. Right here on each side right here, you see a family ministry calendar. If you have a child or youth or involved in the children and youth ministries in any capacity, this is a calendar for you to pick up. This calendar starts today and goes through the end of August 2014, the whole church year. So you're aware of all major events for children and youth. It has all the dates on there, information about everything, so we can have those sign-up dates, those informational meetings, retreats, the whole nine are on that calendar so families are aware and can schedule things appropriately. I know that's a lot to take in, but it's a blessing to see how God's at work in many ways. So if there aren't any other announcements, let's bow our heads and have our morning prayer at this time. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much, God, for bringing us here together. God, it is amazing to see how you are at work in so many ways, the way you call your people to work for you and to work for your kingdom. That is a blessing, Lord, and we are thankful to have that opportunity before us. God, we ask that right now, as we have a time of worship before us, we are free from distraction as your Holy Spirit guides us and moves through us in song and in your word to inspire us for the week ahead so we can more closely follow your Son, Jesus Christ, inviting other people into his presence until we meet here once again next week. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now let us spend just a few moments preparing our hearts for our worship service.
Good morning. Let's turn to page 568. And we'll sing all four verses. Let's all stand.
Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As thou hast taught, so let me seek the erring children lost and lone. Oh, teach me, Lord, that I may teach the precious things that thou hast taught, and bring thy words that they may reach the hidden depths of any heart. Oh, fill me with thy fullness, Lord, until my very heart overflow in kindling thought and glowing word, thy love to tell, thy praise to show. Oh, use me, Lord, use even me, just as thou wilt and when and where, until thy blessed face I see, thy rest, thy joy, thy glory share.
Good morning again. So good to see all of you sitting down here. Like I always say, I love seeing you come down here for our time together to talk together and see how God's going to teach us each Sunday morning. And you know, I usually like to start off with a question. And this time, I want to ask you a question about something that you've always wanted. So I want you to think for a moment. Has there ever been a time where you really, really, really wanted something? And you just couldn't live without it. You really wanted something really bad. I want to know what it might be. Has anybody just think about maybe birthday present or Christmas time? Can you think of something that you really, really wanted that you had to have? And what was it? Yeah. No? What was it? Can you think of something? Has there been like a specific toy or a game or anything that you've just really had to have? Well, I'll tell you mine a long time ago, and you probably don't even remember, but the movie was Home Alone. Do y'all remember that? Probably, I don't know. You've probably seen it, right? Well, if there's another one that follows that. I think it's the second one, and he had a little toy. Now, the toy had a cassette tape in it, and I know you don't even know what that is, because the cassette tape would record your voice. And the neat part was you could play it back in, like, slow motion, so it made your voice sound funny, and you could record all kinds of things, whatever your voice or whatever you wanted to say into this thing. It was called a Talk Boy. I'm giving my age here a little bit. And I just had to have that, and it recorded on the cassette tape. I thought it would be the coolest thing to have. And so guess what I did? Just like I'm sure what you do if you really have to have something. You probably ask your parents, right? Do you ask them just once? No. You probably ask them again and again and again and again, right? You ask them over and over again because you really want something. Well, let me give you a little secret. Your parents really do want what's best for you. They really do. But also being wise parents, not only do they want what's best for you, they know that they can't give you every single thing you ask for, right? That wouldn't be the best thing to do. Our Heavenly Father, God, knows the same thing. He wants what's the very best for us, but He also knows that doesn't mean He can give us everything we ask for. But Jesus teaches us something in Luke 18 that I want us to remember this morning. Even though we may not get everything we ask for, God always wants us to pray. So listen to what Luke 18:1 says. It says, He was telling them a parable to show them at all times they should pray and to never lose heart. So Jesus is teaching them, you should always pray. And even if you don't get an answer right away, that doesn't mean we should stop praying. And even if we don't get what we wanted, that doesn't mean we should stop praying. So remember this morning, we're always supposed to pray each and every day to God, and He'll show us what we're supposed to have so He can show us how to live for Him. Okay? Let's pray about that this morning. God, thank you so much for listening to us when we pray. And thank you so much, God, for teaching us that we're supposed to pray to you each and every day
so we can learn the way you want us to live for you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
As our children are returning and heading to Children's Church, let me share some good news. Yesterday, on August 31st, Mr. Jones Richard Thomas IV made his appearance into the world. That's the son of Joey and Shayna Thomas, 6 pounds, 12 ounces, and 19 inches long. I called this morning, didn't find out till I was here, but I wasn't able to get up with her. But I think things are going well, and we want to be remembering this. I understand he is going to be called Buck, so we are grateful for Buck's arrival, and that is wonderful, wonderful news. Let me ask you to look at our prayer concerns and ask you to keep folks in prayers. I know that Jerry Nance has had a continuing difficult week. I think there he is. I see him. Jerry, is it getting better? I hear that you went to, where was it you went to eat for breakfast, Bob Evans? I figured that was a good sign, but we're glad. I know that he was in the hospital earlier this week. Good to see you here. We will continue to pray for you to continue to get over, especially the infection. And I do want to ask that we remember Ed Sloan in our prayers in a very special way. In fact, I'll be carrying a wheelchair by Ed's house immediately following our worship today. He has a doctor's appointment this Tuesday. He needs our prayers. So please keep Ed in your prayers in a very, very special way. You see, all the names that we list, we recognize them as our divine responsibility. And I pray you add other names to that list as God would give you opportunity. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, on this Labor Day weekend, this Sunday, we pause to pray. We are grateful for your gifts. We are grateful, Lord, that even as Matt reminded us, even when we may not see what we would like to see, we know you always have our best at heart. And so we lift these to you, O Lord, and you know our heart's desire for your healing, for your comfort. We pray, God, that you would minister to them as you know there is need. God, we pray for our world. We know it is a dangerous time. It is a frightening time. We know there are wars and rumors of war. There is injustice. We pray for the people of Syria and ask your blessing to be upon them, especially those that were devastated. And Lord, for now, as we wonder what's next in the international response, we pray your blessing and your direction. And God, even when we, as Paul said, don't have the words, Lord, we just ask God for your power to manifest itself in our life and in the lives of all these circumstances. Guide us now and direct us as we continue to worship you this day, for we ask it in Christ's name. And for his sake, amen.
Our first song was written by Robert Schumann. Some of you, if you appreciate classical music, you know Robert Schumann. And he received blessings that he was not aware of. He didn't want to do some things. And he always wanted to be a musician, wanted to be a classical pianist, and was very gifted. His mom wanted him to be a lawyer, wanted her son to have a secure future. And when his dad passed away at an early age, she took control of him and insisted that he study law. And when he went to college in Germany to study advanced law courses, he was able to escape his mother's determination for him. And he left law school and went into music and was very gifted, and was destined to be a great concert pianist. In the meantime, he also fell in love with the daughter of his music teacher, and she was a great talent as well. But it seemed like he wanted to be even better, and he tried to devise a way. If you play the piano, you know these two fingers are not as functional as the first three, and he had devised a way to push the fourth finger to do better, to be so that he'd have four strong fingers instead of mainly three. You need them all, of course. And in the process of developing that, he ruined his hand. The doctors of the day couldn't do anything about it and said, well, your hand has been paralyzed. And of course, he was no longer able to be a concert pianist. But that's a blessing for us, and it was a blessing for him because he wrote music and left some very wonderful classical music for us. Sometimes you don't know where the blessings lie. You only see what you want to do. Our page 564 is Make Me a Channel of Blessing. And also, when he was the mother of the girl that he was in love with, in those days, ladies couldn't live on their own. They had to have a suitor, of course. And in order to be a classical pianist, she had to have a benefactor. And her daddy assumed that she would marry a wealthy person, and he would take care of her and make her successful. And, of course, Robert Schumann was pretty in despair about that. But there again, the blessings of his mother caused him to realize, you know, I study law. And so he was able to go to court and win the opportunity to see this lady and eventually to marry her. So the law school was not, that was a blessing. They didn't think it was, but it was. And so we have a great body of music that we can, in fact, that song that we sang is in our hymnal three times. Of course, different lyrics. And we may not have much time to do the blessings that God wants us to do. Robert Schumann mentioned that the darkness is overcoming me. He was in his 30s. And later he said, my music is leaving me. Robert Schumann was committed to an insane asylum in his early 40s and died when he was 46. And yet he left a great body of music for us. It's important that we decide what is in store for us, what we should do for the Lord. And our pastor in a moment is going to tell us how to do that. And page 564 is a commitment, a kind of a challenge to us to make our life a blessing. Let's all stand.
Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready His service to do? Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. Is your life a channel of blessing? Are you burning for upon those who are straying, the Savior who died on the cross? Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service. To those cannot be channels of blessing if our lives are not free from known sin. We will perish and a hindrance in those we are trying to win. May
dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all the many blessings that you have done for us and given to us. We pray that our faith and love will shine a light for you. Please guide, lead, and direct us. Be with those in need. We ask that you accept and bless these tithes and offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And the people said, thank you, choir. Our voice to reach the world. I thought it was placed in the paper, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday that there would be fireworks at the Hammonds Farm. And there were hundreds of folks last night that showed up to see the fireworks. When the voice of one joins the voice of another, we begin to encourage folks and challenge folks and tell folks, hey, come meet Jesus at Flat Springs Baptist next Sunday. You know, don't come listen to that preacher. He's not that good. And the choir, they're excellent, but that's not why we come. But Jesus is here. When two or three gather in His name, He's here. There's nothing greater. Nothing greater. And when we use our voice to encourage, invite others to come and be a part of our worship. Thank you for the music today that has reminded us of that in so many wonderful ways. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We've been looking at the love chapter that, ironically enough, Paul has placed in the middle of really three chapters where he is dealing with problems in the church over spiritual gifts. There are some that are saying their tongues are better than others. There are some saying that they are more in tune with God because they speak more in tongues than others. They've already had trouble over how they were going to do communion. Some wanted to bring just their portion of communion. And since it was more expensive than some others, they didn't want to share. The church was in a mess. And in the midst of the mess comes this beautiful message reminding us of God's love. That God's love can change everything. That God's love does change everything. That God's love on the cross did change everything. And so in this beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture called the love chapter, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, the King James Version used to say, it does me no good. Today we look at the third verse, a powerful verse. Again, Paul using tremendous exaggeration to make a tremendous point that what we do is not nearly as important as for whom we do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read today verse 3. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. May God add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak clearly to our hearts today as we entune them to your Spirit? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, some of the great teaching tools are exaggeration. I read a story about a number of years ago, there was a young police officer who was taking his final exam at the police academy, and he came upon this question. It creates this scenario. He says, you're on patrol in the outer city when an explosion occurs in a main gas line in a nearby street. On investigation, you discover there's a large hole that's been blown in the footpath, and there's an overturned van nearby. A crowd is gathering. Inside the van, there's a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You recognize the woman as the wife of your chief of police, who is presently away in another country. A passing motorist stops to offer you assistance, and you recognize him from a poster that he's wanted for armed robbery. Suddenly, a man runs out of a nearby house shouting that his wife, who is expecting a baby, and the shock of the explosion has caused the birth to begin. Another man is crying for help, He's been blown from his car into an adjacent canal, and he cannot swim. Describe in a few words what action you would take. The young man thought for a moment, picked up his pen and wrote, "I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd." So, you know, that's really not a bad answer, is it? You ever feel like, man, it's just too tough? Paul uses this exaggeration of one who gives away everything. Talk about a sermon on tithing. There's 100% tithe, wouldn't you say? A man who gives it all. And then he even has that statement of one who delivers up his body to be burned. Those are powerful, powerful statements that cause us to think, first, anybody who does that must be all right. And yet Paul says, maybe, maybe not. It depends. It depends on their motivation. Sacrificing even our worldly possessions gains us nothing without love, he says. You know, sacrifice is more than just giving something up. We as Baptists, we don't do Lent, you know, that 40 days before Easter when one is supposed to sacrifice something that is very important to them, and they're to take each time they had that desire, maybe for chocolate or some sweet thing or something that we normally really depend upon. When we think about that during the 40 days of Lent, we are to pause and pray. It's kind of a trigger to make us remember. I heard one fellow say that this year for Lent, he was giving up castor oil and enemas. You see, he didn't quite get it. He didn't understand. You see, Paul wanted to make sure we understood that even if we give it all up, everything, we empty the bank account, we sell everything and we give all the proceeds to the orphanage or to the hospital or to the church, if it's done for any motivation other than love, it's not enough. You see, we can do a good thing and it not be a God thing. I'm going to say that again. We can do a good thing and it may not be a God thing. I think that's what Paul reminds us in another one of his great writings to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 2, 8 for 10. He wants us to keep in mind that the reason God calls us to love so deeply and so dearly is because God loves us so deeply and so dearly. He says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, "For by grace, by God's grace, by God's love, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's not even if you give everything." Paul says it is a gift of God. "It is not a result of works, lest anyone should boast." And then he says in verse 10, "You and I, we are His, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Christ Jesus' good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Paul tells us that you can sacrifice a lot. You can even sacrifice stuff religiously and it do you no good. Jesus made this point, and I mean, you talk about a scathing chapter in the Bible. You read Matthew chapter 23. Our Lord was so disappointed in the system. He was so disappointed in the day religious order, that the chosen people had wandered so far away. They had gotten so preoccupied with the wrong thing. And even though they were good givers, even though they gave of their worldly things, some of them abundantly, some of them even to poverty, still, they did it for the wrong reason. Listen to Jesus' words as I began to read Matthew 23, verses 23 through 27. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done, talking about the tithing, without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup. We do that through love, and the plate, that the outside may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Wow. He didn't mix many words, did he? He told it like it was. And today, as the Holy Spirit dwells with me as I was preparing this sermon, those words stung a little bit. I don't know how they fit in your ears. I must be careful here. I don't want us to leave the idea of thinking that giving is not important. It is important. We who are Christians should be the best givers. In another one of Paul's letters, the letter he wrote to the church at Rome, and one of the powerful passages, chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, he begins that with say, I am asking you by the mercies of God that we present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. But it's not the sacrifice that's key. It's why we sacrifice. In the ancient time, that one of the cults was called hedonism. If you Google hedonism or look it up in your dictionary, you'll find it is the worship of pleasure. We must not spend more time investing in our pleasure than we do in our God. We must not spend more money investing in our pleasure than we do in our God. We must not spend more of our conscious thoughts thinking about our pleasure than we do about our God. Why? Because when we love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength, it changes things. I'm too much like the Pharisees. How about you? What he accused them of. At first, I want to read it and say, boy, he sure told them. But I've got to listen with my own ears and say, Gary, what am I doing? How am I living? Have I put on the appearance? And when those words, hypocrite, hit my ears, I immediately want to resist any connection. And yet I struggle with my own hypocrisy. How about you? Giving up one's worldly possessions. It's not the sacrifice. It's the sacrificing without the love. The love that motivated Christ to the cross. The love that motivated his teaching. The love that motivated the church that has stood through difficult times. It is that love. That love that can heal an awful lot of wrongs. That love that allows even us, when we recognize our condition, even when we realize maybe we have strayed away, it is that love that not only compels us to come, but paves the way and encourages us to return. Maybe today the Holy Spirit is laying on our hearts some area in our own life where God's love now speaks clearly and challenges us to return. To return to our first love, the love of God. The second part of that exaggeration is even more shocking when one reads it. It is that idea of what in the world does he say? And even though I give my turn my body over to be burned. Well, there are at least two interpretations from the reading I've done on that. One could be the martyr's death, the one who dies in the name of Jesus, the one who gives up everything, literally everything, even their breath. Other scholars have said that we know in the area of Corinth that there were some in the early church who would take a different style. When we think of slavery in America, we think of the African Americans who were brought over and they would be in bondage all of their life. But in ancient times, one could sell oneself into slavery. One could realize maybe it was the alternative to bankruptcy, if you will. One could find themselves and connect themselves to another person, either for a period of time or even the rest of their life. And one of the ways you knew you became a slave was to be branded. To be branded. You remember, I thought as Matt was struggling with those kids as he talked about cassette recorders, I could go back to 8-tracks for them, but that would really blow their minds. Some of you may remember the old cowboy shows. You remember when they used to brand the cows? I only saw it on TV. That's the only place I know about it. But they did. They'd take hot irons, and it would have an emblem that would identify that person not only as a slave, but to whom that slave belonged. And some were selling themselves. They were selling. They didn't have anything to give because they were poor people. And so all they had to give was their life. And so they sold themselves into slavery and allowed themselves to be burned. And they took the money that was paid for their slavery. They sold themselves and gave that money to the poor. Now, that is a tremendously wonderful sacrifice. And Paul says, but if it's not done for the right reason, it's not important. Wow! How can such a powerful, powerful gift not be important? We're called to be sacrifices. I remind us again of Romans 12:1, to be living sacrifices. But I think maybe a lesson that we can pull from our text today is that be careful we don't sacrifice our life not only for the wrong reason, but also for the wrong cause. How many of you remember the name Lee Boyd Malvo? Or John Allen Muhammad? You do remember them. You just don't remember that you remember them. They terrorized this nation, especially Washington, D.C. For a long time, we would read of the D.C. sniper. People would stop and get gasoline and be shot and killed. 11 were killed and 3 more were injured seriously. No rhyme or no reason, no idea when it was going to happen. Lee Boyd Malvo was the 17-year-old boy that accompanied John Allen Muhammad, the 41-year-old mastermind of the D.C. sniper. In an interview, and as far as I know, the only one he gave or has given since John Allen Muhammad was executed. But because of his age, Lee Boyd Malvo was sentenced to life in prison, and he is there today without any chance of parole. But he gave an interview, and he was asked, he was born in Jamaica, but had become an American citizen. His mom had met John Allen Muhammad in a homeless shelter, and she had found work in another place in California, and she left her son, Lee, with John, having no idea of what his plans were. In the interview with Lee Boyd Malvo, the interviewer asked, what message would you like to get out? And I want you to hear the message. And I'm going to try my best to tie it back to our text today. The message, he said, was, parents, give your children time. Give your children time. Give your children time. He goes on to tell in his third world life that his dad would go wherever the work was, and often that would take him out of Jamaica. He would go to one of the other islands where there would be work, and he would send back money, and he took care of his family. He worked hard to make sure his family was provided for, but he didn't spend any time with his son. And in that homeless shelter, John Allen Muhammad spent a lot of time with Lee. He was hungry for a father's attention. He was hungry for a direction from an adult. And when it was given to him, he was able to do some horrible things, some evil things, some terrible things. He sacrificed his life for the wrong thing. He sacrificed everything. His father sacrificed his son. You see, what I heard from that interview that Lee said I needed more than anything else, I needed a relationship. And God says, if it is not the love relationship that motivates our actions, even if we do tremendously wonderful things, they will be for the wrong reason. And they will lead us to the wrong result. What shall a man gain if he gains the whole world? Or Paul would say, if he gives away the whole world, even his life, and loses his soul. Yes, sacrificing our worldly possession gains nothing without love. Sacrificing our own life gains nothing without love. And yet, what I would end today with is that sacrificing for love gains everything. Sacrifice, by its very nature, requires love. We don't sacrifice without some love, whether it be love of country, love of cause, love of person. We need to love. Love motivates real sacrifice. Sacrifice also requires obedience. And it also involves sacrificing or giving up something of value. Sacrificing, Paul says, without love is nothing. But sacrificing with love gains us everything. I love the story. I've shared it before, but bear with me and hear it again. It reminds me of, I think, what Paul was trying to teach us here. It's simply called homecoming. There's a story of an elderly missionary who was returning to the United States to retire. He and his wife had spent 40 years serving in Africa. But now he was alone. His wife and his two children had long since found their final resting place in the soils of Africa. As he got off the plane, he saw a great crowd of people waiting at the gate. Some of them were holding signs and others were waving banners. And he could even hear the sound of the music. There was a band there. And he thought, could it be? For 40 years, no one's ever even known I existed. And now I'm coming home, and somehow they've gotten word, and they're here to welcome me home. But that was not the case. On his plane was a politician returning from a visit to Africa. And during his visit, He had been catered on and waited upon, and all of his needs had been met. And now there was this great welcoming party for him to return home. As he waited and waited at the airport, the contrast of what the politician had experienced and what his life of 40 years of sacrifice had involved weighed heavy on the elder missionary. In the pain of that moment, he began to pray, "Father in heaven, why? I've served you so faithfully and so long. And yet, Lord, I don't expect much, but just one person here, just one person to have welcomed me home." Then the missionary said, almost as if God had spoken to him out loud, in his heart he heard, "But son, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. You're not home yet." You see what the love of God does? It's prepared a home for us. Oh, we're just passing through here. This isn't home. And if I give the stuff of this away, even the clay in which I now abide, is still the love of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we were created for the Christ Jesus and His good works. When love is our motivation, sacrifice of things and life wins us home. It wins us home. Paul is right. It's love. It's love. The love of God. This week, you remember that song we sang, and I think for the first time, Leonard, I really paid attention to the words of "Make Me a Channel of Blessing." You ever been guilty of singing a song and you can't remember anything it said, but oh, there's a message. There's a message. It talked about putting somebody in my path that I could share the love with. The last verse talks about our sin and how it can be a hindrance. And it says, "Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel a blessing, I pray, my life possessing the Holy Spirit." I just thought about that as I sang that hymn. For that's what the Holy Spirit desires to do, to make us a channel of blessing of God's love when we love God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and everything else. Falls under that, then we gain home. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in just a moment, we're going to offer a hymn upon which we will conclude this hour of worship. And all through this service, Lord, we've been making decisions. We've been making choices. We've been talking about what we need to do. And your Holy Spirit has revealed to us what we could do. And now, Lord, you being the gracious host you are going to invite us, the hymn of invitation, to make some choices, to make some decisions about our life, about our love, about others. Would you even now give us courage and give us strength, whether publicly or privately, to make the right choice for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 559, "Rescue the Perishing." It is God's love that can do that. Next Sunday, wonder if there'd be one more person here at Platte Springs Baptist Church because you invited them, encouraged them to come to Bible study. You know, we got a new married class, had 8 in it the first Sunday. Opportunities are around us. May God make us a channel of His blessing, a channel of His love, as we stand together. I do hope that you will have a good week. I hope you'll have a good tomorrow. I hope everybody's off tomorrow and able to enjoy the day. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, in God's abiding presence, which is God's love, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us. There is much to do. The fields are white unto harvest, and the laborers, even this Labor Day weekend, are few. Guide us and give us opportunity and make us aware of those opportunities to share your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.